Across this sporting state, RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
That's right, you are on the Breakfast Club on RSN 927. Great to be with you on a Friday morning. Pretty ordinary morning out there in the best city in the world, but stick with it. We've only got one more day to go to get through to a big sporting weekend. Lots going on. We've got the Wimbledon finals across the weekend, some great golf activity across the globe, great racing at Caulfield tomorrow as well, of course, and plenty of footy to get your teeth into in round 17 of the AFL, which is where we are at the moment, the Friday footy preview with Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder. Thanks to Essendon Mazda, a certified Mazda Ute Centre with the biggest range of BT50s. See EssendonMazda.com.au. The champ is back. Good morning, Boomer.
Good morning, boys. Good to have the team back together.
Is it
finally?
Ever? Is it ever?
Have a look at him, what? He's smiling, brown.
At least half of us are dedicated
to
the calls.
Mate, we'll hold up the fort here, half. Or you guys but, were but traveling
ben
the
was,
world. But
Ben was doing the 6 a.m. starts for us last week.
He wasn't happy about that, I heard. The alarm was going off too early, Boomer, is what I'm hearing.
The alarm was going off very early. Don't worry about that. I haven't been up that. The only time I've been up that late is when I'm coming home.
That's right. That was the issue I had when I first started. I didn't know, it was a 4 in the AM. I thought it was just the PM thing.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was actually quite good with the boys. Yeah, it was good, but good to have you boys back as well.
Well, my understanding is, Boomer, there's a big weekend for the Harvey clan in local football, the North Heidelberg Bulldogs.
Yes, there was.
What happened?
Shane and I.
How many goals did you kick between you?
Shane and I kicked 21 between us last weekend, half. 21 out of 28, I think it was.
21. So you would have gone maybe 8?
Well, he's a forward, so he's obviously got to kick a little bit more.
But you've been selfish for years. So you've kicked 8. You would have kicked 8, surely.
Yeah, similar. Close.
How many?
I got 4.
He kicked 17.
He got 17. 17-5, I think he kicked.
17 he's kicked.
To catch up, did he? He needed a big game.
He did, because he missed the 3 games he missed with his broken foot. Yeah. We played the 3 bottom teams.
Yeah.
So he's missed a lot of goals, and this was one of the teams he missed.
So how many has he got for the year now?
I think he's on 53. So he's still eyeing a ton. We've still got 9 games to go or 8 games
halfway,
to go.
Yeah, okay.
So still get there. And we play the bottom team this week.
Doesn't matter what level of footy you play. If you kick 17, you've had a good day.
The club record too. You know what? The club record was 17 and he's equaled it. And the last 5 or 6 minutes, there was a couple of opportunities to get him the football.
Yeah.
But the boys didn't realise that he was on 17.
Burned him.
And they didn't burn him. They were just having shots on goal. He probably could have... Out of the 17 half, a lot of people said, obviously, you're just handballing around the back and doing that. One handball receive he got. The rest was kick the inside 50, win his own footy, goal.
How many lace out from the older brother?
Oh, I give him a few, though. I did give him 4 or 5, I reckon, straight on the tip from about 35 out. So.
Score assist for
that was good. Harvey. It was good fun. But I got 6 up last night on me tweet. Anyone see the tweet I got last night?
No.
Whitey, you would have been over me tweet last night.
Yeah, what was going on there? I'm thinking that there may have been a hack situation.
There was a hack situation. Well... So Thursday night football club selection, the boys have a few beers, just relaxed atmosphere was great. We got Spin the Wheel for our footy trip.
Oh, I love it.
And Spin the Wheel come up, my name got drawn out of the hat, and I go in there and you spin it. There's $50, $20, $10, what is there? Is do the dishes on a Thursday night. Yeah. There's a whole host of things. And I spun Social Media Post by Jakey Brown. So one of the young boys, get your phone.
No.
You've got to walk away.
Oh, no.
And he can post whatever he wants.
Oh, hang on.
Now, I gave him my phone and I did say to him, Jakey, there's a lot of ramifications here for me. Unlike some of the other boys at this football club, there is big ramifications. I could get sacked from a couple of my jobs. So please be careful. So he gave it to me before he posted. He said, is that okay? And he went quite easy. I thought, yep, that's okay. You can do that one.
It's not too bad.
No, that was all right.
The post was from Jakey. Can't believe I didn't play 500. Hashtag spewing.
So he looked after me a little bit.
That's not bad. He could have gone harder there.
Yeah, he could have went a lot harder. But I did say that there is ramifications from a couple of my employees.
What also Boomer's happy about, I think, walking in this morning half, we're talking about the worst offenders at the tribunal since 1990.
Oh, yes.
Now,
what happened? Are you going to mention?
No, you didn't. You're going to mention. I think you're just outside the top 10. How many weeks were you suspended for through your career?
I think I got 14.
Yeah, he's close.
I played for 21 years. That's not even 1 year. That's a pretty good effort, I would have thought.
It's not even 1 year.
Dustin Fletcher's in there at number 7. He got 20 weeks through his career.
14 of them for either shaking goalposts or tripping.
Yep. So Boomer, I think he's probably at number 11 or 12 in that list.
Lindsay Thomas is in there.
Yeah, Lindsay Thomas is up there.
That's the current crop.
Current crop.
The old timer since 1990. We don't see
how many times were you reported?
No, I got off a couple. I actually did get off a couple. So,
That wasn't my question.
No, I don't know the answer, Rama. We might have to go back and check that.
Sounding a bit like Brad Scott at the moment, just not quite answering the questions as they're given to you, Boomer, as we move on to footy matters. At your footy club, is there any unsettling activities going on at the Kangaroos with the coach being mooted as being a Caro Strong? That he's going to be the replacement at the Magpies.
Oh, really?
Strong.
Well, he's got another year left on his contract, hasn't he?
Well, it's a funny game, footy. We all know that.
Is it really?
Contracts aren't worth the paper they're written on, and we all know that.
No, I do agree with that, Daniel. But you know what, mate?
Is it a discussion at the footy club?
I wouldn't have thought so. I think everyone would be a little bit scared to discuss that, wouldn't they? The coaches or the senior coaches.
Well, perhaps not openly with the coach, but perhaps behind
the doors. I definitely wouldn't be
in the locker room
about that. I thought Brad answered it as honest as he possibly could. As long as North Melbourne want him, he's willing to coach North Melbourne. You take him on his word. I'd think that's right, isn't it?
All right. Well, then I'll then throw it back to you then. If that's the case, would you be confident North Melbourne would say to Brad Scott, well, we do want you long term?
Well, I think they've got a plan in place, and that's why the coaches sign contracts. So, yes, I think he sees out his contract next year, and depending on how they're going, maybe 10, 11, round 12, they sit down and rediscuss his contract. That's the way I would have thought most contracts work.
Mm. No, because it is a timing thing, isn't it? Because there is a chance, because we can't be absolute about this, there is a chance that there could be coaching positions up for grabs at the end of the year.
Oh, you think there's at least one,
yeah,
maybe two?
So coaches that have got 1 year left on their deal, whether it be their managers or themselves, you would expect them to be going to the club and saying, look, you know, I've had a phone call, I want to stay here, but I want some security, let's have a chat. If that conversation happened between Brad Scott and North Melbourne, I wonder what the answer would be from North Melbourne.
How did you feel? I'll take it a step further from a playing perspective. Because throughout your time, with Dennis moved Dean, on, yep. Dean Laidley yep. moved on, so you had three through your AFL career. When they was sort of happening, not that this is not Brad Scott's getting a chop at the Kangaroos, but when they were happening, was there an air of uncertainty in the playing ranks? Is there an air of, well, you know, what's the look going to be going forward for us? What are we doing?
Yeah, I think that only happened once half because Dennis Pagan left at the end of the season. There was no speculation about him at all. He went to Carlton. The other change was Dean Laidley, and he left with seven rounds. I think Darren Crocker maybe took over and did seven or eight games.
Yeah, okay.
So we weren't travelling well, obviously, and that's part of the reason why he left. But it was pretty sudden with Dean. We weren't playing great, and there was speculation who's going to coach us next year if it's not Dean. Mm. And then it just went bang and happened. Dean done a press conference, walked away, and then Darren came in, and that's when we appointed Brad Scott. So there's only one big change. So I think it throws out... I think if there was speculation, you know, from the... So let's talk about Collingwood for a second. I think that would be in the back of your mind. Who's coaching us next year? Is it going to be Bucks? Is it going to be a whole new coaching group? I think that would have an impact on the playing group, yes.
And where you fit in that scheme with a new
as an individual?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Where am I going to play? Am I going to play? Who's going to like me? Who's not going to like me? Does a senior coach come in and get rid of all these assistants and brings his own team in? There's all those things that you'd think about, 100%.
Interesting discussion. You played 743 games, is what we're being told by the AFL historians these days. Luke Hodge plays game number 300 this week. Now, it's a long way behind 742, but 300 games for Hodgey. Where does he rank in your eye? If you would have seen all those games of Luke Hodge, where does he rank?
Very high. I think he's a fantastic player, great leader, and he was that. To play against Hodgey, you always saw, because you do appearances with him, you do a few things with him, you think, you know, he's a good bloke, he's, you know, won't go so hard on me. He used to get you, no matter who you were, where you were, he used to come after you and verbally get you, physically get you. And that's why he was such a great player, because he led from the front. And that's exactly what Hawthorn did for so many years. And he was at the top of the tree. He would nail you every single time. And he always seemed to be there on a big occasion, didn't he? You talk about the Hawthorn Geelong games. He always played well. A couple of Norm Smith medals. He just played well at the right time. Great player. Great leader.
When you say he verbally used to get you, what are the sort of...
Oh, I can't say that right now, Whitey.
No, but paraphrasing, I mean, for someone that has played as much footy as you have, I can't imagine too much would be said to you that A, you haven't heard before, or B, that would get under your skin. So what is it that he would say?
No, I don't think too many players would get under my skin over the time in terms of what they said. It was just... He was just there. He'd tell you, next time you go for the footy, we're gonna kick your head off, pretty much. And you always sort of think, oh, it's in the back of your mind. And he did it to everybody. He was into it. He was such a good player that he was always in the game, because verbally he was at you, playing across half back, could see the whole ground, set a lot of things up, and just come after you all the time.
300 games for Luke Hodges this week. You mentioned that Geelong rivalry, of course, that's the clash that he brings up in tomorrow at the MCG. So it's almost fitting that that happens. 13 to 8, Brent Harvey is with us. He's part of the Friday footy preview team here on the Breakfast Club. Don't forget the Friday face-off will be running again this week. We haven't got a category just yet, have we? Or?
No, we haven't. No,
that'll happen during the break, because there's a kickoff to be had as well. Ball in the bin type activity.
Harford versus Harvey.
No doubt Alphabetical will win that. Alphabetical Order will win that, because that's what happens when I'm running the show. 12 to 8, we'll go through Friday Night Footy after the break as well. St Kilda and Essendon as we start the preview round 17 of the AFL. 9 to 8 on the Breakfast Club. Friday Footy preview with Brent Harvey is part of the team, of course, on a Friday. Don't forget, if you want to register for the Friday face-off, where you can win outstanding prizes every week on the Breakfast Club, go straight to the website rsn.net.au. Put down your information and we will track you down on a Friday if you are lucky enough to play for the bevy of prizes, which today includes a dozen Callaway Chrome soft golf balls, Big Swing Indoor Golf Centre voucher, and a round of golf for two at the all-new Warragul Country Club as part of the Friday face-off prize today. And we've got a category, Whitey. You're our category man around here for Friday Night Footy, St Kilda and Essendon. Can you explain, please?
Well, there are a lot of players playing tonight that get a lot of the footy, so we're just going to go very easy, straight up and down, disposals.
Disposals, okay. Righto. So get thinking, boys.
I like it.
Get thinking.
Handballs, because they trick you. When you do handballs, they trick you.
You're still angry about that.
Yeah. They trick you, the handballs.
Don't get too deep into it right now, Boomer. Have a think about who you might want to have for disposals, and you and I will have a kickoff for last week's winner very shortly. But speaking of Friday Night Footy, it is a ripper, St Kilda and Essendon at Etihad Stadium, thankfully, considering the weather, which is around about town at the moment. In for the Saints, Hickey and Battle. Out goes Billy Longa and Membry. And for the Bombers, Craig Bird comes in for the rested Job Watson. Rammer, I'm throwing this straight to you. You've had a four-week hiatus. You've had a chance to just reflect upon the seasons that both these teams have had and how evenly positioned they are and how the importance of this game. How do you see this game being won tonight at Etihad?
Through the midfield, to be honest with you, Harf. I think, as Whitey said, these teams are evenly matched, I think, through the midfield. There's no standout real midfield. Essendon's midfield has just been ticking along, and St Kilda's midfield has been, they've been okay. They've got probably the star of the show in there in Jack Stephen with his running ability. Zach Merritt's been absolutely brilliant for the Bombers, but I think it's going to be weighted numbers through that midfield. And if both teams can bring multiple options in there to keep the pace on the game, the pace in this game tonight is going to be really, really important. I don't think at many stages through this game will we see the tempo slow down. Both teams want to move the ball quickly,
yep,
and they want to move it fast into their forward line. Essendon's forward line has been functioning really well. Fantasia last week hit the scoreboard. Danaher's hit the scoreboard regularly. Hooker before that up the other end of the ground. Riewoldt obviously had a really good game against Alex France last week. The first gamer in Josh Battle, Josh Bruce, Jack Billings has been had a really good year for the Saints. I think Andrew McGrath will go to Jack Billings tonight. I think that'll be a really, really good matchup. It's probably the midfield matchups that I'm most intrigued about. I like the matchup of Darcy Parrish and Jack Stephen. I just think pace for pace, like for like, and it'll be a good challenge for Darcy Parrish early in his career. Seb Ross, I think Craig Burt, as I said earlier, should go to Seb Ross. He's getting under the radar, Seb Ross. There's no doubt about it. As we mentioned earlier, he goes to the opposition's best midfielder, but then he's smart enough to work off, win his own ball, and have a real influence. He's not only stopping the opposition's best midfielder, but he's also weighted numbers. He's averaging 30-plus disposals a week. So that's one that Essendon really need to concentrate on. The ruck battle is important in this one. Billy Long are out. Hickey comes in. Bell Chambers has been in good form for the Bombers over the last couple of weeks. Played really well last week against Collingwood. So that's an important one just to get on top. Now, you listen to Bell Chambers talk about his own game. He talks about his aggression around the contest early in games and trying to set the tone for the rest of the midfielders. Essendon's midfield to start the season was poor. They've just started to creep back up into the middle rung where their midfield's ranked through the competition now, Harf.
Yes.
So that's why I think this game is going to be won through the midfield. I think the forward lines of each team are good, but it's going to be the speed on the game tonight that's going to be most important. It's almost going to be who will wilt first.
So, Boomer, on the speed of the game and the way that the game will be played tonight, we saw last week St Kilda play the most unbelievable brand of football in the first half against Richmond.
Great football.
To set up an emphatic performance and be able to sort of cool the Jets in the second half a bit. How difficult is that to replicate? But what do they gain out of the confidence of seeing that in action against a quality opponent like Richmond last week?
I think that the exact thing, the confidence that they will get from last week, especially that first half and the way they started, I don't think they haven't played that footy this year. Oh, they've played it in little spurts, but to put three quarters together, and let's face it, in that last quarter they took their foot off the accelerator a little bit. They could have punched them, but I think the confidence of this young group, I think, is just gone through the roof on the back of beating a quality team last week, and that's what they get out of it. I look at the emergencies, Dunstan and Akers.
That's what I looked at as well.
Dunstan and Akers. Now, go back 2 years ago when St Kilda were building this team. Them two players there were an integral part of their midfield. Now they're not even in the team. Mm. So players from underneath are playing well and getting their spots and holding them out. The pace of the game is going to be frantic. Rama touched on it. Essendon play a quick brand of football now with their half forwards getting really high and getting back to goal. But St Kilda, they've been able to counter-attack it. And I like Joey Montagna off the half-back. Geary does a job. I think it's going to be a fascinating game. I think St Kilda are up and about. I think they're the team at the minute.
So why did, further to Boomer's point about the good players and Akers and Dunstan being out of the team, David King finishes his article today in the Herald Sun saying St Kilda's development phase is over. Is it, if they're the serious contenders that they think they are, perhaps some of the footy world think they are, is tonight the night that they have to show that?
No, I don't think so. I think they kind of showed that last week against Richmond. I think they are a team, St Kilda, that are between 6 and 10 on the ladder. And there's probably 5 or 6 teams trying to squeeze into that part of the ladder. I don't think there's anything between Essendon and St Kilda. I look at it this way. St Kilda is, you can trust them more than you can trust Essendon. I think there's less of a difference between their best and their worst.
Yep.
But I think Essendon's best is better than St Kilda's best.
Even after what you saw last week?
Yeah, I mean, that's a once-off. That was a half a footy that's probably the best footy that's been played all year. But if you look at what Essendon's done in the way that they destroyed West Coast, Port Adelaide, Geelong in full games, they've done it more than once. Some of the footy they played through the middle phase of the game against Collingwood was electric football, but they're inconsistent. So you can't really trust Essendon. But I think I don't think there's too much between these two sides. What St Kilda did was that when their season was on the edge, they got a nice part of the draw. They got North Melbourne and Gold Coast in consecutive games at Etihad Stadium. They injected a bit of confidence into their game. They started to score a lot more freely than what they were. Then when they hit harder games, Fremantle in Perth and then obviously Richmond, they were able to get a bit of momentum and confidence from that. I just wonder how much confidence Essendon got from beating Collingwood last week, get a bit of momentum rolling themselves.
They weren't great against North Melbourne. It was a pretty average game.
Oh, that was a shocker.
To watch, yeah.
That was a debacle.
So they weren't great, but
St Kilda, they won, and that was the first in that absolutely. Winning sequence.
And when you win, it's fantastic to get away with one that you don't play great football and you win. Let's not mistake it, though. St Kilda are playing their best football when their pressure is elite.
Yes. And excellent point.
Last week against Richmond, their offense came from the back of their turnovers, and they turned the ball over. Their front-on pressure and pressing pressure was outstanding last week against the Tigers.
All right, it's going to be a ripper. After that discussion, which was terrific, by the way, after that discussion, it's going to be a ripper tonight. So let's get some tips for our punters out there. Whitey, I'll start with you.
Gee, I reckon it's almost impossible. I'm going with St Kilda because I trust them more than I trust Essendon, but it wouldn't surprise me either way.
Boomer?
I disagree with Whitey. I think this is going to be a game where St Kilda secure a final spot and knock Essendon out of the finals.
Romanescus.
I'm going with the Bombers because they have to win tonight. St Kilda don't have to win tonight. Essendon have to win tonight.
Well, if St Kilda win tonight, it makes their life so much easier
Essendon
for them.
Essendon have to win just to remain in touch.
I'm on the Saints. I'm a bit more of the trust factor. I don't think they can replicate what they saw, what they produced last week against Richmond, but I'm just not sure about them. And you mentioned the midfield being the battle tonight, Rammer. I'm 100% with you. I'm not sure I can back him in against the secure midfield. So you bet you there is at Essendon Mazda. Brent Harvey with us, thanks to the good friends at Essendon Mazda on the Friday Footy Preview. We're going to have a look at three very important games in round 17 very shortly with the panel. We'll also select a competitor in the Friday face-off as well for most disposals tonight for St Kilda and Essendon at Etihad Stadium. And if you haven't registered to be a part of that, be in the running for some great prizes on the Breakfast Club, straight to the website, rsn.net.au. Boys, before Mickey Felgate at 8:30, we've got a bit of work to do in terms of preparing and looking at round 17. Some really important games. One of those is the Battle of the Bridge, GWS v Sydney. Now, it's 2v8, but Sydney are coming like a steam train with what they've been able to produce in the last 8 weeks of footy. The bad news for them is the Giants have had three big ins included into their team for this encounter at Spotless Stadium tomorrow night. Stevie Johnson, Zach Williams and Toby Green come in for Reid, Mzungu and Lloyd. They're three very, very big ins. They've got their own Sydney as well. Josh Kennedy comes back in for Ollie Florent. It is at Spotless Stadium, the home of the Giants. They have been, we heard Mark Stevens say there's some crisis meetings, one-on-ones from the coach and each player this week regards to their performance. I think that's probably over the top, but Rama, the Swans are coming with a full head of steam.
Yeah, they are. They are, but it's not ideal to run into GWS at this stage, no, I think, for the Swans.
Not that's, fantastic.
No, it's not, it's not a good one. But in saying that, Sydney, if they lose this game, they drop outside of the eight. So they go back to 8-8. So important game for the Swans, where the Swans have changed their game. Their midfield's now ranked number one in the competition.
Yes.
So that's where their game has completely turned around from the six losses to start that season.
And when you consider that the first 6 weeks, I think they were ranked 16th in that time. They've gone from 16th to one, including that first 6 weeks. So the dominance has been profound.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been huge. The Giants, on the other hand, their biggest problem, and it will continue to be their biggest problem, is their defensive transition when the ball turns over. They refuse to run defensively. Until they do that, they're going to have trouble. They're going to find themselves in trouble.
Do you reckon it's a refusal, Whitey, for the Giants to stop that? Or is it the way they play? Because, or is it the personnel? Because you don't see Jonathan Patton being a real pressure player. You don't see Rory Lobb being a real pressure player. Is it just the personnel they have in that area of the ground? Stevie Johnson's not really a pressure player, although he hasn't been there for a little while. Is it just personnel or is it system?
I think it's a combination of things, but I think personnel plays a big part in that. You know, they are quite top-heavy.
It's an attitude.
Yeah, and so that when you've got the smaller players, leave out the tall players for the moment. When you've got Devin Smith, Steve Johnson down there in the forward line, I'm not sure whether they're really doing too much defensively.
Their best defensive runner is Tom Scully. He's manic the way he runs.
He's great to watch.
Oh, he is.
He's absolutely fantastic.
He doesn't stop. From minute one to minute 120, he's still going at the same pace, which I just find remarkable for any footballer able to do that. But it's real for mine. It's their attitude to want to do that as a midfield. Because why I say that is it's no coincidence that their defence is opened up at times because of that particular reason. Mm. Now, I don't care how good of a defender you are. If a midfielder is streaming through the middle of the ground and puts it lace out to the forward, you can be Stephen Silvani. You're not going to stop that.
Not even Superman could stop that. That's what Dean Laidley used to say. Put more midfield pressure on. Not even Superman could stop that.
So it's too difficult. Now, we've still got seven rounds to go, so they've still got time to correct this, the Giants. But they want to do it fast. Because you cannot play like that, Whitey, in finals football and expect to win.
No, I understand that, but they're a really difficult team to judge, the Giants, because as Half was saying before, they are equal top of the ladder. Yeah. They've had major injury issues, and I think it's because of the hype pre-season, we do tend to judge them very harshly because of the talent they've got, but there is this 10% missing from them, whether it be stoppage setups, whether it be kick-ins, they just seem to do that little that last 10% wrong a lot of the time.
Which you can't do, Boomer, as you well know, and particularly the back end of a season leading to a finals campaign. If you get that wrong, then you're no chance to compete on the last day.
No, 100%. Oh, I'm just circling these GWS Giants forwards, and you circle Cameron, Lobb, Patton, Shiel, Smith, Stevie Johnson, Toby Green's on the interchange here, I think she will go into the midfield, but they're tall and they're big. And then you look at Sydney's defenders. Grundy's the only really big guy down there. Then you've got Rampy and Newman who can play, you know, as those medium talls.
Mm.
But I think GWS are going to stretch them.
Malakan's the one on the interchange bench.
Oh,
at the
of course, yes.
He'll play as a tall defender.
Yeah, absolutely. If anyone can. Malakan.
Nice work.
So,
his beak can eat more. What is it, the thing that his beak can eat more than his belly can?
So for me,
it's just the comedy hour now.
No, it's children's storybooks. That's what it is.
Battle of the midfield, and Rama touched on it. If GWS can get enough inside 50s, I think they kick a winning score. That's at the end of the day. Yeah. And I love Sydney. I'm loving Sydney at the minute. But if I simplify it, if the battle of the midfield, if GWS can slightly win that, I think they kick a bigger score.
And yeah. That's the stats, Rammer. The stats don't lie here. In the last three times they've played, the Giants have won and won really easily at three different venues, including once in a final. And I just think they are a better team than Sydney.
How the Giants have won on the last couple of occasions against Sydney, it's been that contested ball and clearances. Yep. So it's around the contest that they've been able to beat Sydney at their own game half.
But Sydney are the informed team of the competition. That's how it's going at the minute.
So how long can that last, Boomer? In modern footy, do you reckon? How long can you run that stretch?
We're
talking about teams being on a heater in the Friday footy preview last
couple of weeks. I think they're just, and I shouldn't say just coming into it, because I reckon the last 5 or 6 weeks they've been the informed team. And I think they had such a poor start at the first half of the season that the second half's going to be exceptional. I still think they make the finals. Even if they lose this, I still think Sydney make the finals. So I think their little run doesn't come to an end until September.
105 to 63, 91 to 55, 105 to 63. That's
convincing
the last three games. They're not just small wins, they're big wins.
So anyone tipping